I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Our scripture reading today comes from the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will.
Thank you, Jack. One question that many of us Christians ask, what is God's will for my life? Now, we face decisions all the time, and we find ourselves constantly wondering, just what is God's will in those decisions? We find ourselves buried under questions and decisions, and in the middle of it all, we keep coming back to these questions. What is God's will for my life? What does God want me to do? And how do I find God's will for my life? I know personally that God leads me to His will. There's no voice that comes out of the clouds or other signs, except a feeling of peace when I'm doing His bidding. Unfortunately today, we operate as if God's will were lost. And we're trying to determine, using our human knowledge, what is God's will for me? Just imagine our knowledge, our limited knowledge against God, who's all-powerful and all-knowing, who started all of this with just a word. Everything that we see on our daily lives or at night when we look up at the skies, all of that God created. And we, in our human experience, are going to try to guess at God's will. Sometimes I think that when we're searching for what is God's will, that we miss the entire point of what it means to be a disciple of Christ, because we look in all the wrong places. We're human. But you know something? His will was never hidden from us. We think we don't know what it is, but it's not hidden. We've been told. Unfortunately, we as humans want to find shortcuts into the mind of God. But that's not God's design. It's not the way He does things. Or should I say, that is not God's will. His ultimate concern is not to get you from point A to point B, the quickest, easiest, smoothest, and clearest route possible. That's not His design. Instead, His ultimate concern is that you and I would know Him better. And as we know Him better, we learn to trust Him more completely. Now, there's nothing more important to us when we're looking for God's will than simply knowing and trusting God. So we ought to go to him in prayer as a routine thing. We should spend more time with God. We should sincerely listen to his word and walk in obedience to it. You know, as we do that, God leads us to the right path. And he guides us according to his will. And suddenly we realize that God's will is not a roadmap just waiting to be on earth somewhere. Instead, it's a relationship that God wants us to experience every day. So the goal of a disciple of Christ is not to answer the question, what is God's will for my life? But the goal is to walk in God's will on a moment-by-moment, day-by-day basis. Now, the will of God is clear in the Scriptures. It's full of it. It's all here. From beginning to end, God wants to be worshiped. He wants all of us to hear, to receive and embrace and respond to the gospel of his grace, all for the sake of his glory. And that's important. His glory, not ours. And God's will for each of us is that we were created, called, saved, and blessed so that we could spread God's word for his glory, not ours. Too often, people get caught up in self. They think that self is so important. I've got a tremendous job. Oh man, a lot of responsibility. I do a lot of things. But ask yourself, how did you really get that job? Do you think that you did it all on your own? You had parents that helped you. You had other people that helped you. And overall, God was watching out for you. God had plans for you before you were born. So God's will is not intended to be found. It's intended to be followed. We don't have to wonder about his will when we've been created to walk in it. We don't need to ask God, God, reveal your will to us. Because we each should ask God to align ourselves and our lives with the will he has already revealed. You know, if we walk closely with God and we truly desire his will for our lives, God will place his desires in our heart. The key is wanting God's will, not ours. Unfortunately, most of us get caught up in things, and we tend to think that we know best about everything. We don't. But we're humans, and that's what we do. So the real problem that we face today, as I see it, is we let our own desires interfere with God's will. You have to remember that each one of us was uniquely crafted and gifted by God to perform tasks of service to Him and to others. God doesn't try to hide His will from us. He wants to reveal it. In fact, He has already given us many, many directions to His Word. They're right in here. In 1 Thessalonians, for instance, we are told to give thanks in all circumstances, for that is God's will for us. Like the scripture reading today, and I'm going to repeat it, do not conform any longer to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now that passage is important to us because it gives us a sequence of events. The Christian refuses to be transformed by the world. And that then allows the Christians to be transformed by the Spirit. One thing we have to be careful about when we're seeking God's will and how to make decisions, we should make sure that what we are considering will glorify God and help us and others to grow spiritually. Knowing God's will is difficult because it requires patience. Honestly, not many of us have a lot of patience. And it's natural as a human to want to know God's will all at once. But that's not how God works. He reveals to us a step at a time, each move a step toward Him, a step of faith. And it allows us to build up our trust in Him. We're told in James that the important thing is that as we wait for further direction, we should be busy doing the good that we know to do. You know, often all of us like to have specifics. Tell me what to do. Don't just sort of give me a little guidance. Tell me. That way I can go do it, especially us men. Like where to work, where to live, what car to buy. Do you notice in those three things I just mentioned, they're all material? We need to be careful that we don't let the material things overwhelm what God's will for our life is. The scriptures, again, make it abundantly clear that God's first and foremost wants us to know Him, to have a relationship with Him, to bring glory to Him by the way we live our lives, by how we relate to Him and to others. It's best summed up by a passage that's in Matthew and in Mark that says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all of your mind. He's asking for everything, isn't he? That's what he wants from us. But you know, it's not about us. Life is about God. God is the creator of all. and of all creation, including us, every one of us here today. We exist to bring him glory. So first, we have to start with God, not us. If you're making decisions based primarily on what makes you feel good or what makes you happy, then you probably have your priorities backwards. And you will stumble. Most of us have. Remember, God first, then you. The best way I can think of to ask God's will for me is to ask, how can I live my life in such a way that brings God the most glory? I've done things in my life, each of us have, that we're not too proud of. But thank God, he gave us a way to forgive us. All we got to do is ask. It's there. Just remember, God first, then you. God wants us to accept responsibility, the responsibility of a disciple of Christ. While we guard against things like becoming like a robot, a bored, bill-paying achiever, ground down by responsibility and deadlines. In the Bible, it tells us, don't worry. Don't worry. God does not want you to worry. He is there for you. Reach out to him. So the question we really have today is, how do we get to know God better? Well, meeting with other believers is a start. Now, where do you find other believers? Look around you. Look around you. They're right here. I personally enjoy church here because of you. I love our Sunday school class because I am surrounded by people that believe. And that bolsters my belief. Do we sometimes doubt things? Sure we do. How much better is it to be with other believers that lead us to increase our belief? And that's what each of you does for me. And that's what each of us can do for you. We're called brothers and sisters for a reason. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. The thing that I find sad is that most people spend 1 hour at church. 1 hour a week. That's out of 168 hours. I'm not even going to try to figure out the percentage. It's pretty low. And what's even worse than that is that few make that hour a must-do thing. 1 hour. 1 hour out of a week. And it's someplace we go when we don't have anything else to do. That's a shame. That's a real shame. Unfortunately, that's what we have nowadays. You know, not so many years ago, attendance at church was important. You just didn't miss. Had your special clothes, your Sunday go meeting clothes, had to get those on. Why did we change? What is it that we really want? What do we really want when all the time that we have to spend with God is 1 hour a week? Something's wrong, people. Something's wrong. You know, the world may give us some temporary pleasures, but God and Christ are eternal. They're forever. What is that in comparison to a few of the worldly pleasures we have that just don't last that long? Now, everything that Christ taught us dealt with love. And love makes its presence known. It's both a presence and a present. Because when you love someone, you give the gift of your time. You show up. Let me ask you a couple of questions. Do you spend time studying God's words? They're right here. I know each one of you has at least one at home, probably with you today. Do you spend time every day thanking God for what He has given you? Only by spending more time with God and His body of believers will you find His will for your life. And my hope for each one of you is that God's will show up in your everyday life so that other people around you will see you, will see what you do, will realize there is a person that believes. We each have that opportunity. And I hope each of us takes full advantage of it. I ask you to pray with me, please. Father, please help us to do your will so that at the end of our days we can hear, "Well done, you good and faithful servant. Enter into the house I've prepared for you." Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's word is brought to you.